This week on Family Anatomy, Anatomy of Valentine's Day.
The hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologists. So if you want to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you can get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Hello and welcome to Family Anatomy. It's time for your weekly dose of insight and information into kids, couples, and families with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spazzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. Today we're talking about Valentine's Day, like you heard earlier, and let's get right into it. This is a pretty important holiday for a lot of people, right?
It is. I got a feeling that it's not something that everybody looks forward to, though.
I would say that's probably correct.
Right. What's your feeling on it?
You know what? Valentine's Day is tough because you have there are lots of expectations.
Yeah.
On the day, and in some ways, we talked before about surviving the Christmas holidays, and in some ways, planning this Valentine's Day extravaganza.
Interesting, though, that who do you think there's more pressure on for Valentine's? Is it the men or the women?
It's absolutely, without question, the men.
Which is a little switched over if you think about Christmas.
That's true. And how do men handle that pressure? I don't know. Do they handle it better than the women do at Christmas time?
Do they handle it at all? That's the thing. I mean, there's a bit of a lameness, I think, that is generally, considered to be the case on the part of women towards men in terms of how they handle it and how they, you know, step up to the plate to deliver here.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. I have some studies that we're going to talk about on that, just that very thing. But, you know, usually we joke around about, 99% of men and 0% of women and things like that. But in this case, there is research to back it up. Valentine's Day is important to women, less so for men.
Less so. Do you have an actual statistic there?
Or? You know what? I didn't print out all the statistics, but what they did was we're getting into the research right away, and I didn't really want to do all of that, but the researchers were looking at people who were more feminine, whether they were men or women.
Okay.
Okay. They used that sex role inventory that probably you at least read about if you didn't use in university, the BEM sex role inventory.
Right.
And they found that Valentine's Day was rated as important by people, men or women, who were more feminine. They were also more likely to wear red on Valentine's Day. So they were really planning ahead and it was valuable to them.
Okay. So we're assuming then that there's going to be more feminine women and there's going to be feminine men, and that's where you get this... This phenomena.
Exactly. Isn't that strange?
So it's more important to the women, but the responsibility is more on the men, and this is where you got the trouble.
You know what struck me about Valentine's Day, and as I was preparing for the show, normally we record a few shows at a time, and there's a few things we're thinking about now, and one of those is the winter blues.
Right.
And Valentine's Day is a holiday that hits
right in the middle of the
right in the most depressing time of the year.
Actually, it's not. Well, we're going to get into that in another show. It's not actually the most depressing time.
Speak for yourself.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you wear red on Valentine's Day?
No, never. No. People will ask, like, when Valentine's Day comes around and I'm dressed in my typical army fatigues.
Right.
They'll ask, why aren't you wearing red? It's Valentine's Day. And I'd be like, oh yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Okay, I didn't even remember.
Now, for your wife, would you not wear red shorts or something like that?
Doesn't usually occur to me. No. It really doesn't. That part, wearing red doesn't occur to me. It's about, I want to take my wife out for dinner or bring home flowers or something. Red roses, right? That's about as red as it gets.
Let's be honest. Guys don't wear red.
Typically not, unless they're feminine guys, according to the research.
A lot of women wear red. I noticed that at work, actually. A lot of women wear red for Valentine's.
Yes, they do.
They wear Christmas clothes for Christmas.
Yeah, they do tend to follow the dress code. Guys get into Halloween.
Yes.
Maybe St. Patrick's Day, the one day of the year when we can all be Irish.
True. Now, do you have any personal experiences with Valentine?
You know, when I was thinking about that, I kind of went back to childhood almost. And I was, because I'm thinking about Valentine's Day and I think of every holiday, really, I think about Charlie Brown.
Okay.
Right? Because there's a Charlie Brown special for just about any holiday you can think of.
Is the Valentine one good? I just thought the Christmas one was good.
The Valentine's one is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. There are actually two Valentine's ones, but the Valentine's, he's pining after the little red-haired girl, and he's too shy to do anything about it.
The little red-haired girl, is it? What's her name?
I don't know if they ever gave her a name.
Okay, it was a new character that...
just for the Valentine's Day stuff.
All right.
You know, he wanted, and of course, Charlie Brown didn't get any Valentine's, blah, blah, blah. But I was a shy kid when I was at school, and Valentine's Day... probably a hard holiday for shy people in high school or even in junior high. Other people had boyfriends or girlfriends, and if I wasn't dating anybody, that's a time when you really think about it. And if you're too shy to give that special someone the Valentine's that you want to give them, well, that makes it a stressful time of year for you.
That's a good point, and I probably blocked all those memories out because I have no memory of that.
Honestly, you are excellent at compartmentalizing those traumatic experiences.
Yes, and putting them
in a little box.
In a bin somewhere, yeah.
A heart-shaped box.
I got an interesting little, like, because Valentine's Day is coming up, and just so happens that my five-year-old has a crush. Just so happens, like, it's happening right around Valentine's, so he's going to be giving her a card and stuff, and the way I know this is that he came to me, and he said, Papa, I got something to tell you, but it's a secret. And I said, okay. And so I had to go real close to his ear, to his mouth with my ear.
And, yeah, it doesn't work the other way around very well.
No, unless I was whispering to him. And he says, I had a dream last night. And I said, oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out why this would be a secret. He says, I had a dream. It was about this girl in my class.
Okay. Right? And right away you went to your
and I thought to myself,
dream journal.
Let's hope this isn't disturbing, I thought. And I said, well, okay, well, what happened in the dream? And I was a little bit, you know, hoping I didn't have to go there. But I did ask him and he said, well, we were in a bedroom with a bunk bed and we were jumping up and down on the bed.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's a good five-year-old Valentine's Day dream.
Yeah, and then he had a play date with her.
In the dream or
real
life?
No, in real life. Oh. He's really, like, and it goes back and forth. Like, she ran after us and said, can your son come for a play date with me, please, please? And this is really something. It's a five-year-old crush. That's right around Valentine's.
Do you think they'll get married on Valentine's Day?
This year, no, because, you know, it's expensive for a wedding. We have to save the money.
Yep. Okay, that's smart.
Italian wedding too, you know, very expensive.
Well, that's right. You have to save up for a down payment, right? on a house for him. He's a bit young for that.
He is.
It's maybe a more of a fun holiday for the younger kids. We're talking about the stress that goes along with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think for the kids, it's pretty fun. You go to class. Most in the young grades anyway, everybody has a Valentine card for everyone in their class,
that's
right?
That's right, yep.
So you get a whole big bag full of nice little notes from all your friends.
Yep.
That's kind of a nice thing.
It is a nice thing.
On the other hand, there's a few folks down in the U. I was, like I said, I was reading up for today, and there was one paper I found that described the period between December 26th, the day after Christmas,
right,
and February 14th, as a 7-week journey of unrelenting hype. Because this is really when, and maybe it's more guys when they talk about this, Valentine's Day is the romantic holiday, et cetera, et cetera. It's also a holiday that's created by card companies.
Now, that is actually not the case.
Oh, ho, ho.
It is actually not the case. I was ready for that.
I set him up and you knock him down. See what I
happens.
Did there? I knew you were going to say
yes.
that.
Yes. And Valentine's Day, okay. I'm not going to mention that this is the history part of the show because it bores you. Wait, I messed that up. Anyways, San Valentino happens to be an Italian saint.
Sure, and he gave a card
way back.
One February 14th to Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yes, it started out as a gay holiday, but you know, as it happens, these things sort of change over time. It's back to, you know, heterosexual and gay, I guess, at this point.
It's an equal opportunity holiday.
It is. And so here's a bit of a legend about him. This is back in the 3rd century in Rome. Emperor Claudius II decided to ban marriage for younger men because he needed them for to be soldiers, right? And getting married was getting in the way of this. So he banned marriage for young men. San Valentino, at that time, just priest, this priest called Valentino, decided to go around the laws a little bit and marry these couples that were in love. When it was discovered that he was doing this, he was executed. This is around 270 AD. Now, that's the legend.
That's a sad story.
That's a pretty sad story.
You're bringing me down. The history part usually does bring me down. But
listen, giving written Valentines to your
sweetheart.
Lover or sweetheart is something that was started in the 1400s. As far as I know, Hallmark was not around in the 1400s. So this whole idea that Hallmark created this thing in the 20th century is actually not true.
Okay. They just took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, they exploited it really well, nicely.
Sort of like the Japanese automakers, right?
Sure. Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They perfected it, so to speak. But it is a time when you turn on the TV, and I don't know if this is changing now when people have PVRs and they can skip commercials and they're driving, instead of listening to the radio in their cars, they maybe have iPods or CDs going. But it's a time when all of the ads are about these romantic things. We're getting stuff in the mail from restaurants about their romantic menus that they have on Valentine's Day. So you just hear again and again and again, as soon as Super Bowl Sunday is done, maybe, over and over again, you hear about this holiday and how you really need to do something special for the one you love.
Well, you know, here's one of the defenses that men come up with. They say that, and it tends to be men, I guess some women would do this too, but tends to be men that say, I don't really believe in Valentine's Day because I believe that you should show your love all year round. And of course, these men don't show it all year round, and that's a problem.
Well, it might be a problem.
Yeah, well, it could be a problem, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one of the...
excuses.
There's pressure on men, but let's be honest here. Let's be honest here. The pressure is a little exaggerated. Don't you think?
I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm going to say that is I think that many wives are pretty understanding about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself and my wife, we want to go out and have a special night around the 14th, but we don't do it on the 14th because the restaurants are packed and it's bananas out there.
Okay.
So we might, not this year because it's Friday the 13th, but we might get together on the 15th or the 13th and do our little date then. And that's maybe one way to take some of the pressure off. The thing about Valentine's is that it's a very scripted kind of a holiday. There's certain expectations. You bring home roses or candy. You take your wife out to dinner and a movie. You go on a special date. And there's supposed to be romantic gestures, et cetera, right?
Right.
I'm putting this in not a very romantic light, I know. It's a holiday because of that script. It's a holiday that it sets up a situation where it's hard to win but very easy to lose.
Maybe. I'm not sure I see that. I see it.
You want the research to back it up, dude? Valentine's Day is a catalyst to the breakup of romantic relationships.
Wow. Okay. Let's hear about that.
So this is a study that came out a little while back. And what they found, they were looking at holiday stresses and how holidays might force you to look at your relationships or your life circumstance in a different way. It sort of turned the spotlight on that. And there they investigated Valentine's Day first because it's very clear what relationship you're focused on and it's maybe a bit easier to study that. Their idea was that Valentine's Day is a time when, because of that script, lots of people are going out to dinner, you're seeing couples on TV, you're seeing couples in public, everybody's doing these romantic gestures, and people have this thing, or social psychologists have identified this thing that people do called the attribution bias.
Okay.
Right? When you see other people do things, that's because it's the way they are. But when you do things, it's because of the situation you're in. Right? That's the fundamental attribution bias.
Yep.
I didn't dream that, right?
Nope.
Saying that right? I'm explaining it in the right way.
Yep.
So the idea of these guys, they're saying that you're going to see all of these couples out there and they're being romantic and you're saying to yourself, wow, those people are really in love. Look at the thing. What a great guy. Look at the things he's doing for his wife, for his girlfriend, for his partner. I mean, this guy, my husband, my boyfriend, he's just doing it because it's Valentine's Day. He's supposed to do that. There's a script.
I see.
So okay. they were thinking about those kinds of things. And what they did was they took the 2 weeks around Valentine's Day. So a week before and a week after, and they compared it to 2 weeks at a different time of year. And they looked at relationship satisfaction, et cetera. And what they found was that even moderately strong relationships, if they were going through any kind of distress, that Valentine's Day puts a focus on whatever difficulties they're having in their relationship, and they're more likely to break up in the week before or the week after Valentine's Day than people with the same kinds of distress at other times of year.
Wow. That's an interesting statistic.
You like that?
Interesting. Yes.
I thought you would.
It totally makes sense, too. I mean, the pressure. See, if you're having trouble in your relationship, it's easy to diffuse that trouble with distractions. And here comes a holiday that, instead of being a distraction, focuses in on, well, you're supposed to be in love. Are you in love? Is this? Are you going to do this right? If you're not going to do it right, yep. Does it sort of symbolize how difficult your relationship is right now or your problems?
And on top of that, I mean, if the research is showing that women value the holiday more than men do, men are likely to mess up somehow in that situation. And if you believe sitcoms, that's usually what happens. And I do believe sitcoms.
You do.
I do. Yep. What can I tell you? I was raised on television, by television and on television, for television perhaps.
Yes. Now, I feel like I have messed up the odd time on Valentine's Day and the reason I know that is because I have this strong memory of, thought I told you not to give me red roses.
Oh.
You know, I don't like red roses. But yeah, I mean, I learned my lesson after that second time, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the problem, that it's once a year and it's easy to forget what happened a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember specifically messing up a Valentine's Day. And like I said, I don't think that my wife is someone who puts that as much of that exaggerated importance on the day. So generally, if I do, I guess it's lowered expectations, right? Anything I do is really good. Woohoo.
That's excellent.
You did something romantic. That's incredible. So there is that, but there's something else that goes along with this Valentine's Day idea, and it's something that happens in all relationships, and I think we talked about it before when you were talking about the essential relationship strategies, right?
Okay.
Couples, once they've been together for a while, they start to do this thing called mind reading, where they think they know what the other person has on their mind, they think they know what the other person wants, and what they think they know isn't always the truth.
Okay, so how does that play out in this holiday?
Well, you do have that script, and you have this idea of the romantic gesture that you're going to make, but you think that she's going to like those red roses, and you might ruin the whole day by bringing home the wrong flowers, right?
Thanks for bringing it up again.
I just thought I didn't want you to compartmentalize that just yet. I think you should live with it for a little while.
Likes roses, just doesn't like the red roses.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't screw it up every year, but there is that mind reading thing. And I think one of the things that it's probably worth talking about, if we're going to talk about surviving Valentine's Day, getting through Valentine's Day, are some strategies that probably would be helpful any time of year.
Okay.
And the number one thing that comes into my mind is talk about what your expectations are. And you might still want to surprise your wife or your girlfriend with something, but it'd be a good idea for you to find out, what are the things that she expects on Valentine's Day?
That's an interesting point, because what you're saying there is share the responsibility for how that night's going to turn out.
We said that about Christmas time.
That's it. So rather than have this, feel this pressure and then, well, there's a good reason why it's not going to work out, because you're not actually consulting the person to see what they would appreciate. You're feeling like it's all on you to decide, but really it'd go a lot better if you can collaborate and get to some mutual understanding of what would be a good evening together, where you should go, and so on.
So the real sneaky, organized guy out there is going to start asking a few questions maybe on January 3rd.
Right.
She's not even, what do you think would be the most romantic thing you can think of?
And then when it gets to February 14th, say,
boom,
that was January. I don't feel like that anymore.
Oh, see? You know, kids change their mind a lot more, I think, than the grown-ups do when it comes to those romantic gestures. Let's hope so anyway with your five-year-old. Maybe he's already betrothed.
Oh, no.
But I mean, I do think with any relationship, especially if it's maybe a high-stress situation or one that has the potential to be kind of volatile, you need to talk that through a little bit. Find out what the script is, first of all. It would be nice if you would have known about this red rose thing before Valentine's Day.
A little bit of mutual planning is what we're talking about.
Sure. Right? Yeah. We talked before about something else, and I thought maybe I'd bring it back again. This idea that doing something new, doing something that you don't do every day or every month, that having some shared experience that has a bit of adventure to it, has a bigger impact on the quality of your relationship or your satisfaction with your relationship than going out to dinner at the same restaurant that you go to every Valentine's Day.
That's something I always consider because, you know, when I look, sometimes my wife and I will, at the end of the year, look back on the year and talk about what's happened and their experiences. And it's a kind of a way to review it on New Year's Eve was what we do. But there's so many things that happen during the year. If you pick a restaurant that you typically go to for Valentine's Day, you're making it not a very memorable experience just by that fact.
And what I'm wondering is, beyond going out for dinner, is there something else that you can think of that would make it a more memorable day? Is there something you can do before or after? Could you, if we lived in warmer climes, I would say go out for a picnic. But I'm watching the snow come down outside the window in the studio today.
Not very good. It's, I mean, you could be on the beach, I suppose, if you were in a beautiful summer.
You had a nice holiday. I remember one year going to a place where the rooms were suites and they all had hot tubs right in the living room, right in the middle of the living room. That was an amazing holiday. I still remember it. This was maybe 7 years ago.
That, I mean, you can really do some nice things. It's a little bit difficult, I guess, when you have kids to be able to get away for that.
You can't get away like that.
Just for the one day, I suppose.
But maybe there's some other activity you could think of. Maybe there's something that you always wanted to try that's, you know, or maybe that she's talked about one time. I always wanted to go here and check this out, that restaurant that revolves around, or some other activity. Rock climbing.
Yeah, this is why talking. Yeah, I'm sure that will come up. The second we finish this podcast, I'm going to go talk to her and she's going to say, rock climbing is this excellent idea for
dude,
me.
Go-karts. I'm telling you right now, go-karts. If you can find an indoor go-kart track on February 14th, you will be a hero.
I'm not sure my wife has shoes for either go-karting or rock climbing.
She does have a lot of shoes, though.
She does.
So you might not.
Which is interesting that there wouldn't be that kind of versatility there. But
I think you're mind reading right now. I think that's what you should ask her about go-karts.
Maybe.
I think that might be an important strategy to get through Valentine's Day.
What else you got?
Well, you said something before about this idea that some guys have, you know, I'm going to do romantic gestures all year long. Like, why does it have to just be on one day? Like Mother's Day, I'm going to do nice things for my wife, for my girlfriend, all year round.
Is that like a vacant sounding voice or a romantic voice?
No, I'm trying to do a deep masculine voice. How do you like that? I could turn up the bass on the mix on the mixer a little bit, but I don't know why I did that voice for saying that. But I think that is something to think about when we're working with families who are having trouble with their relationship with their kids, right? One of the things we want to do is find ways to motivate the kids to behave in the way that you want them to behave. One of the ways we do that is this idea that you want to catch them doing something good and make sure that you really give them a pat on the back for those things that they do that you appreciate.
Right.
Right? So I think we talked about this when way back we were talking about behavior problems, about some people who would put little reminders around the house, and when they saw this little happy face sticker, they would go look for the kids, find out what they were doing, and if they were doing something good, they would make sure that they reinforced that. I don't think it's a bad idea if you want to be the guy who takes the emphasis away from Valentine's Day because you're going to do some other things during the year. If you want to be that guy, put some reminders in your calendar. Think about some romantic gestures that you can do and remind yourself ahead of time, because guess what? In the day-to-day with kids and your job and all of those things that you do, it's easy to just get into that daily or weekly grind where you forget to do those romantic things.
That's a very good point. And it comes back to planning, I guess. That's what you're talking about, is planning so that you don't miss out on these opportunities because of all of the commitments that you have and all of the routines that you have to get through in the course of a day.
There's always, I think there is a tendency, maybe not everyone does this, but there certainly is a tendency to say to your partner, as Janet Jackson so wisely did, "What have you done for me lately?" So you want to try and keep that regular romantic gesture thing going.
You do.
I sort of made Giuseppe half laugh there when I said that. I thought I'd get him with that one.
These references are excellent. Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
We've got Charlie Brown in this episode.
Sure. I'm working in the pop culture stuff because we are the number one kids and family podcast on Podcast Alley. So we need to keep that going.
And I just imagine Charlie Brown dating Janet Jackson. What about that for Valentine's?
That's inappropriate, what you just did there.
He's grown up now.
He's just a kid.
Nope.
Oh, he's in his 60s now, probably.
Come on, yeah. He's actually too old for her.
You're right. Now, speaking about those romantic gestures that you want to do during the year, all year round, right? That maybe you want to do them, maybe you don't, I don't know. But if you're putting some effort into your relationship, and that's something that's been shown to be related to satisfaction with your relationship, is the effort that you put in, that's what you get back out. Again, it comes down to communication. I think it's not a bad idea, not just to say, you know, what are those romantic things that you like on Valentine's Day, but to talk about what you like that your partner does. And sometimes it's not a big romantic thing. I think for most guys, it's when you make me a sandwich or bring me a beer or something, right?
Yep.
I know for me, boy, you know what? There's something about a sandwich.
Now, I remember when my wife and I were first dating, because this reminds me.
Does she make a good sandwich, though?
I should have gotten a list together. I've never did that, and I haven't to date, although we've talked about it.
We did talk about
that, right?
Very recently,
yeah. But my wife actually had a list of all the qualities that she wanted in a man, and they happened to match very closely the things that I was bringing to the relationship early on, at least. I don't know about now.
Wow. That's pretty good, though.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. Good. So you were a perfect match.
Yes.
You did meet on eharmony.com, so I don't...
don't know if that existed when
you see that other
dating
reference that I did there, though. I didn't say J-date or anything like that, but you know, I think that is a good idea to come up with that list. Maybe it's once in a while, maybe it's a coffee in the morning that you really love it when your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend brings you a coffee when it's time to get up, or is when you wake up and you smell the coffee has started. You know, that's something that a lot of people really value, but you don't think of it as a romantic gesture.
That's it. And you're right. You have to have a mindset. I know in the schools, it's reminded me of something that happens in the schools where there's these themes that they bring up where they have posters and stuff even, and it says, "Caught you caring."
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Caught you caring. So they make it kind of a mindset in the school where they look for kids who are having like nice gestures to other kids.
And
they celebrate that in some way. And it's not a bad mindset to have generally, that you're going to show show a caring gesture towards your spouse or your girlfriend or whatever the case may be, or your husband.
Notice that you remark on it, that you give them a pat on the back so that they know that you like it and they're more likely to do it later on.
Exactly.
You're
going
to have a happier marriage and a happier life, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, if you can just reinforce those little things.
Now, that is one of those year-round things that you want. You don't just want it for Valentine's Day. But I think Valentine's Day is a good reminder for those people who, like, because, you know, probably those statistics have to do with relationships that are really on hard times, the ones that are breaking up.
Even moderately strong relationships.
Is that what it
all
says?
All they need is a little bit of a downward trend.
Yeah.
They're going through stress. When you think about a long-term relationship, though, many relationships are made stronger by going through a stressful time and coming through it, and you stayed together through all of that.
Right.
And you can look back on those hard times, and you've been together through thick and thin, so to speak. But there's something about that Valentine's Day time. Now, the study didn't look at married couples or couples who were engaged. It was couples who had been dating. I think the average length of their relationships were 18 months, which is, you know, a pretty long relationship for somebody who's just dating.
Relationships. Let's get back to...
Wait a second.
Yes, let me...
What was your longest relationship before your wife?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about something here, okay? Now, we're not going to... I think we should have a separate show on the anatomy of love and love relationships, right? But let me just throw something out there, a little teaser for our subsequent show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Relationships, there's like three stages in relationships. There's that sort of initial lust stage,
right,
which is just being taken by someone physically,
mm-hmm,
let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be very brief, okay? Another stage, a second stage, is the attraction stage. And this is where it becomes much more psychologically involved. And your waking and even dreams, your thoughts are consumed.
By jumping on the bed with that person.
Yes, up and down on a bunk bed. And there's actually, you know, there's neurochemicals involved in this. It's a very euphoric stage. That you can't think about anything else. It's your heart's racing. You get sweaty palms. It's that the initial stage of that second stage, but that more drawn out stage, which lasts only about 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Okay. Then there's the third phase. It's more of that long term attachment commitment phase, and you don't have that same sort of euphoric idealized relationship that lasts that 2 to 3 years. What I'm saying is these 18-month relationships are in that middle phase, and so these things could be on the way out anyways. I mean,
sure, that's a possibility.
Once that euphoria wears off, you have to actually still look at the person with a more realistic eye, in the sense that now you know them much better than you did in the first few months.
You know, I think,
and you're not
though,
just in love with being in love. You are in love with that person because you know them now.
I think when we're talking about that study, that what it gets at is maybe not the literal thing that these relationships are, these 18-month long or longer, because it was on average 18 months, that these relationships are breaking up. The idea is that Valentine's Day can be a stressful time for relationships, maybe any relationship, you know, maybe less so for those married couples, but I don't think you would disagree that this is a time when the focus is on your relationship and there might be some pressure there.
Yes, but here's the other part of it, okay? If there's just a few troubles in your relationship, or if your relationship is going relatively well, let's say, this can be a reminder that, yes, you do need to invest in it. And here's that time of year that comes up that if you have not invested in it very much throughout the year,
right,
this is your reminder, and maybe it works out for you, and maybe it's actually a good reminder that way.
And that's, in fact, what we talked about, those moderately strong,
yeah,
relationships, the really strong ones, the ones where they were very strongly connected, even though it was a short, you know, 18 months, da da da. But they didn't see that same kind of effect. And in fact, it put through a positive light on their,
right,
relationships, because, right, they were doing a lot better. So there you go. Maybe it's time to get to our top three things, unless you have something else to add.
I think that's it.
Let's do the top three. Top three things. And the number one thing to remember, I think, is that you want to communicate a little bit, find out what your partner's expectations are about the holiday. And maybe you could do that in a subtle, sneaky kind of a way, but you do want to make sure that you're not reading their mind and therefore setting yourself up for a rough time on February 14th.
Yes, and the number two thing, I think, is for men in general, I think, that they not be intimidated by a holiday that was started back in the, you know, what was it, 270 AD? There's not a lot of intimidation there. I think you should, you know, man up and do what's right. And
I like that recommendation. Man up.
Isn't that a good one?
That's a good one. The third thing is, of course, part of manning up is performing romantic gestures throughout the year. Think about the things that your partner likes and try and engage in those behaviors, not just on February 14th, not just on Mother's Day, but on those other special days or days that aren't so special, you could make them a bit more special by thinking about those romantic gestures.
And that's it.
We are out of here. So don't forget to check out the website at familyanatomy.com. Our email over there is info@familyanatomy.com. Do you have any announcements? Anything new going on at the website, G?
Are we going to talk about Twitter? I guess we...
Let's talk about Twitter.
Yes, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, that'd be great. If you have any show ideas, please email us your suggestions or questions. We'd love to have that.
Our Twitter is twitter.com/familyanatomy. As usual, we'll sign out with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, who's over at brotherloverocks.com.
And thanks for listening.
It's a family thing. Hey! You know what to do.
FamilyAnatomy.com.